8:30 and 9 for interesting discussions about God. And now, here's Dr. Green.
Good morning. Let's talk about God. I received an interesting email, and I really do appreciate it when you send emails asking me questions or whatever issue you might have regarding God, the whole God question. Here's part of that email. You say God has spoken to you. If that is true, that must be great. My question is, how do you know for sure that God is speaking to you? How could I tell if God was really speaking to me? And what kinds of things might God say to me? Those are pretty good questions, huh? So this morning I want to talk about that. You know, how does God speak to us? That's a pretty interesting question. Let me begin by quoting the words of Jesus from the Gospel of John, the 16th chapter, verses 12 through 15. Fascinating statement. And this is what he said before he left, before he was crucified, and of course came back. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So this is one of a few promises of Jesus that there will be more to come and that God will speak to us. Well, according to the Bible and the witness of others, including myself, God has spoken. God still speaks, and God's going to continue to speak. Communication with God is more than possible. It's absolutely essential for the life of our relationship with God. You know, God wants us to hear and respond to what we hear. Our life now and maybe forever will be shaped by what God says to us. And we need to learn how to listen, how to discern what God is actually saying. For me, it's been a lifelong task try to understand, what is God saying, and how does God speak to us? Well, I'm going to kind of lay out a whole bunch of stuff here, and if you want to hear this, it'll be on my website later today at drhalgreen.com, drhalgreen.com. God speaks to us through nature. I'm just going to tell you what it is, then I'm going to give you greater detail. Through nature, natural events, supernatural events, scripture, other persons, and direct inner witness. And of course, sometimes God will utilize more than one of these means of speaking to us, especially when God wants to get something directly to us, so we really get the message. I remember early in my religious life, I wondered, God, how are you going to direct me? I mean, how am I going to know for sure what you want me to do, where you want me to go, what you want me to say? And as I was praying that, I was sort of beginning to fall asleep, and in what's called the hypnagogic state between being asleep and being awake, all at once, I had a visualization of being on like Interstate 80 or 35, and there was a turnoff, and there was, like a dozen different directional signs telling me to exit. And then I woke up and laughed. In other words, God will get through something to us through more than one means when we really need to get it. So I want to say something about each of these means. First, God speaks to us through nature. God addresses us as our creator in creation itself. Now, this has been called God's general revelation. You know, to everybody, come on, wake up, take a look at a sunset, take a look at flowers, cloud formations, mountains, valleys, the vastness of life, the stars. Wow. God's self-language is all through creation. When you think about it, according to the Bible, all creation is actually God's speech. God created everything, according to Genesis 1, via speech. God said, let there be, and there was. Let there be, and there was. So he's the speaker. It's beautifully addressed in Psalm 19, the first four verses. The heavens are telling the glory of God. The firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. Now here it gets kind of interesting. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In other words, God is speaking to us, but God is not speaking to us. I had an experience this summer, and you can sort of make of it as you want. I've gotten into photographing flowers. I've just kind of discovered their silent beauty. It was a group of flowers out in California in February that struck me. They were a peach colored, and it hit me, wait a minute, these flowers, and those of you who appreciate flowers, and forgive me, but I didn't always have the time to appreciate or smell the roses, as it were, working, but now I do have the time. And I realized that those flowers aren't saying, hey, look at the beauty here. They just are there for you if you happen to notice their extraordinary beauty. So I've been taking pictures of flowers all summer. I've got some great pictures of lilies and zinnias and, wow, wax begonias. Where have they been all my life? It's like a language, folks, of beauty. Like, here it is. See, it's there for you to smell. Oh, the rose garden at Weed Park. Oh, I've got some fantastic pictures of roses. Just stop and what is it saying? It's not saying anything, but it is saying something. If we're awake, if we can hear it. Second, God speaks through what we'll call natural events. This is called God's ordinary means, quote-unquote, of address. Here, it's usually less what happens than when it happens. When it happens, it seems to us as if God is addressing us, speaking to us. Examples of divine signs could include the when of a much-needed rain, or a desired but unexpected telephone call, knock on the door. I'll never forget. I'll give you two examples of this in my life. The when. I'll never forget the expansive beauty, visage of two rainbows in the skies over Des Moines, Iowa, after a vexing, painful ordeal at a church that I'd been serving. Problems about healing prayer, for heaven's sakes. We were finally able to leave that whole situation, and my wife and our three children, we headed for Minnesota and a much-needed vacation on the lake. Driving north just after a hard rain that morning, it turned out to be a priceless family time together in the North Woods, and there were these two majestic rainbows appearing. It seemed as if God were saying, I'm in control. The storm is now past. All will be well. Be at peace. Which, by the way, is exactly how it turned out. In a second, kind of weird thing that happened. When I was teaching psychology at Iowa Wesleyan College, Moef and I went to a gathering of friends, just a wonderful social evening. Anyway, the hostess said to me, it was about 11 o'clock at night, "Hal, I know you believe in God. Let's do a seance." And I really didn't know much about seances and all that kind of stuff, but I've had experiences. So I foolishly said, "Well, okay, let's just all sit down." We had a big glass container of a beautiful candle, kind of like an ashtray, big, thick glass. We put that in the center. We got it in a circle, and I said, "Okay, yeah, we'll give it a shot." I said, "Everybody hold hands." And then I kind of got into, I don't know, meditative state. And then began to sense something, but I said, "We know you are here." This is exactly what happened, folks. "We know you are here. Give us a sign by which we may know for sure you are here." And at that instant, that glass containing the candle, that big, big, thick glass ashtray, exploded into more than 1,000 pieces all over the room. A couple of women screamed. The lights went on, and there were a couple scientists in there who were agnostic, if not atheists. And one guy said to me, "You know, Hal, there's got to be a scientific explanation of why that glass container exploded. But I don't know how to explain when it exploded." That's just an example of God speaking to us through natural events. Third, God speaks to us through supernatural events, what we call miracles. This is called also God's extraordinary means of address, and concerns events that we just simply can't explain through what we call natural laws. God can bring about a physical or spiritual healing, for example, which attests to God's presence, God's power and purpose in our lives. I worked with a man named Dr. Francis McNutt. He and his wife Judith are great world healers. And many years ago, I brought him to this church I was serving. And I'll be as brief as possible. There was this tiny little baby, Carl, that was a thalidomide baby. So his hands were like bulbs, his arms on his side. And this woman had sent me letters and was going to come and was hoping and praying that Dr. McNutt could bring about healing, could somehow bring his arms into being, his forearms, whatever. Anyway, so it was Friday night after the first session. There were hundreds of people. This was First Methodist Church in Des Moines. And I was accompanying him down into the fellowship hall to have a conversation and all that. And here came this woman and her son. And I kind of pushed people aside and said, "Dr. McNutt, could you pray for this child?" And he put his hand on this tiny little, almost more like a fin than an arm, and began praying. And as God is my witness, I saw an arm begin to be developed and come out of this child's side. We were all going, "Ah," until, of course, somebody interrupted Dr. McNutt with his own thing he wanted done. And the whole rest of the weekend, even though he tried a few more times, nothing else happened. That's just one example of speaking to us through miracles. And I do believe in healing prayer. You know, everywhere Jesus went, he performed miracles of healing, calling them signs of the arrival of the kingdom of heaven, where God is just present and active. He even told his disciples to continue doing that. And off and on over the years, I've practiced healing prayer. I've seen some things happen. The first time this is nothing about me, it is everything about Jesus. Because as McNutt said, the healing power of Jesus Christ is given to the church. Specific individuals are not the whole ball of wax. They're only themselves signs of the power that is available to us in Christ as we gather together, where two or more gather together in my name. There I am in your midst. The first time I remember praying for a man who had had kidney stones. He was in terrible pain years ago, and back in the 80s, and I went to Iowa Methodist Medical Center. I was his pastor, and he was there in great pain, and I said to him, "Hey, do you believe in healing prayer?" He said, "I'll give it a shot, Hal." And I went ahead and put my hands on him and began to pray, and they're like, "Shoof!" I can't explain. It was just this sense of, not electricity, but the spiritual energy going through me. And I knew instantly he was healed. And I started laughing. He was a neat guy. And he started laughing. Sure enough, he was healed. He went home the next day, never had kidney stones again. I don't know how to explain that. For me, it's maybe being obedient. Okay. Fourth, God speaks through Scripture. This is called God's special revelation. It really is the most important, reliable, and definitive for telling us about, you know, who God is, who we are, what God wants of us, where we're headed. There's no other written document that has such power and clarity. And if there were time, I would love to teach you not just how to read Scriptures, but how to pray Scriptures. Pray Scriptures. In fact, just hold that thought, and I'll come back to that after a short break.
Taco John's and the fresh taste of West Mex is bringing you your local weather forecast.
Here's a look at your forecast from the KWPC AM 860 and FM 95.1 Weather Center. Chance for isolated storms today, otherwise mainly cloudy skies expected. Highs around 85, southeast winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance for scattered thunderstorms again. Tonight, lows dip down to about 68, partly cloudy. Highs level off around 84. Tomorrow, chance for scattered storms. I'm Weather Eye meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Right now, 72.
We're back. I have done a lot of praying the Scriptures, and I've taught people how to pray the Scriptures. And even though we may not finish this, how God speaks to us today, I just want to tell you how to do it. Praying the Scriptures has been around pretty heavily for more than 1,500 years. It's kind of at the center of monasticism, praying the Scriptures. And let me use an analogy, because there's four stages. Let's say that you pick the Scripture that I've already read. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Just to even take that one thing. Okay, here's how it works. Just imagine that you and I are going to go to a restaurant for lunch. Now, you go to a restaurant because you're hungry, right? If you're not hungry, why go to eat? So it's already built on desire. You got that? Like the desire to hear God, the desire for God to speak to you. That's got to be there, kind of at the beginning. Okay. So you go to a restaurant and you get the menu, right? The first thing you do is you read the menu. Looking. And so last week I was at a restaurant in Iowa City. Stella's actually a wonderful restaurant. And they've got all these choices of hamburgers. I wanted a hamburger. They had like 15 choices. What am I going to pick? Okay, so then you read, and then something strikes you. So this one blackened hamburger, it really sounded interesting. I think they called it the Baxter. Secondly, once you have hit on something, you begin to think about it, what's called meditate. You begin to taste it. Is that what I wanted? You begin to really meditate. Third is when the waiter comes, or waitress, and you order, right? Fourth comes what? The piece de resistance, when the food actually arrives and you eat. You get those four stages? You pray the Scriptures. The first thing you do is you read. You read like John 16. You read, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." Secondly, something hits you. So it might hit me. What do you mean I can't bear? Am I not really ready for God? And you begin to meditate about it. Third is prayer. God, help me here. Am I not ready? Can you get me ready? What is it you want to say? What is it you want to say? And then you, fourth, and this is the heart of it, you wait until maybe God actually speaks to you in the ways I'm going to describe. So you're being answered, but maybe you're not aware that God is speaking to you like I was not aware that those flowers were actually speaking to me of the beauty of nature, of the beauty of God, like a great work of art tells us the beauty of the painter. Those are the four things: reading, meditating, praying, and then what's called contemplation. That's when the food comes. That's when you actually have a sense that God is speaking to you. Okay. Paul summarizes it this way. All Scripture is inspired by God. Now, it's interesting, in the Greek original, it says, all Scripture is God-breathed. God-breathed. There's a sense of the breath of God. It's inspired by God and is useful for teaching, reproof, correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. And Scripture, by the way, is really meant to be studied in a small group, because it's the church's document. And I have taught Scripture for just decades in churches I've served. I was always teaching Scripture. And it was fantastic to do it together in a small group. The Word becomes alive. It's just wonderful. Third, God speaks to us through other persons. God uses other persons to bring home a message to us, even though those persons are often, if not usually, not even aware of what they're saying, that happens to be just the thing you needed to hear at the time you needed to hear it. The right word coming from God gives me a shiver up and down my back. We may want to say to this person, you cannot know what you just said to me. And you know, often the speaker's not going to remember. What? I said that? That's happened many times in the years in the parish. People would say that I'd said something to them, and I would say, when did I say that? Really? Well, okay, if that's what you heard me say. As long as it works for you, if it was helpful, good. Okay, yeah, yeah. I remember one time a woman was going to Mayo Clinic. She was a wonderful, saintly woman. She was at Iowa Methodist Medical Center, and she was just afraid she was going to die. She was just, Helen was her name, she was just so afraid she was going to pass. Anyway, I was going, in those days I visited like four hospitals. I was going to one hospital, and I felt as if the Lord spoke to me and said, turn around, go right now to Mercy Hospital, which is where she was. And I was going to Iowa Lutheran. So I thought to myself, well, okay, yeah, I'll go to Iowa Lutheran. And then I felt this imperative, which I'm going to get to, God's inner witness, all right? Turn now. I was on University Avenue in Des Moines, and I made an illegal U-turn, folks. Thank God there was no cop there, because I felt, move now. So I got to the fourth floor. I remember, this is just so clear. I got to the fourth floor, and as I did, the medical people had already rolled Helen out into the hallway. They were going to take her by ambulance up to the Mayo Clinic. She had put on all this weight, congestive heart failure. And I got there, and she was so glad to see me. She was nearly blind, by the way. And I said to the medical staff, could I just have a prayer with her, please? Well, okay. So they moved her back in, and I held her hand, and I said, let's pray, Helen. And as I was praying, I saw so clearly the holy hands of God wringing out a cloth, you know, like a sponge or something, wringing out, and all the water falls out. I knew it was of God. And so I started, once again, I started laughing, and I said, Helen, I've just had a vision from God. You're going to be just fine. And I described it to her, and she was laughing and crying, and she was so relieved because she believed me. She was a great woman of faith. May she rest in peace. Sure enough, she lost more than 40 pounds. She was skinny anyway, and lived for years yet after that. That was the word of the Lord. And now and again, I have had a clear sense of a spiritual anointing or breath on what I was saying to another. And this can happen to all of us. Over the years, I've even learned to trust it sufficiently. Sometimes I've said, I think that this is a word of the Lord for you. I just have really wanted nothing more than to be a messenger of God's good and holy words and will. Another example a small group in it. It was a healing conference, and I was one of the leaders of it. And I had a small group, and we were praying, and a blind woman, she was a high school counselor from Northwest Iowa, and she was down for this healing workshop with a few of her friends, obviously, because she couldn't drive. And so she wanted to get sight, which is a wonderful thing to want, needless to say. So we were praying together for her. There's about a half a dozen of us. And then, and it sort of comes in like a right through my center. I know exactly where this thing comes in, but I've practiced it. This can happen to all of you if you just work on it. The words came, and I'll never forget them. I have given you sight. Use the sight that I've given you. Oh, I didn't want to say that to her. I pushed it back, and it came again, stronger. I have given you sight. Use the sight that I've given you. Finally, I said, well, I think I have a word of the Lord for you. Okay. And I said those words. Here again, laughter. They were in laughter and so forth. Why? Because I learned at a recent laying on of hands in Northwest Iowa another time, those were the same exact words that God purportedly said to this woman. She had tremendous spiritual insight, discernment. This was the sight that she was using. We could go on, and I have all kinds of stories to tell you. When you really ask God, God, you know, speak to me and help me to hear, or God, use me, and just let me know when you're using me. God will do that. It's really more our readiness than it is God's willingness. God's constantly in communication with us. We're just not picking it up. Sixth, I'll start this, but I'm just not going to be able to get through it today. So I'll finish this next week. But sixth, and this is going to spend time here because this is the big one. God speaks to us through inner witness. God speaks to us through what Jesus called the testimony of the Holy Spirit. It's interesting that one of the major words for the Holy Spirit of the New Testament is paraclete, parakletos, which means nothing less or more than lawyer or advocate. So the Holy Spirit is our inner lawyer, our inner advocate, our inner mouthpiece of God telling us the things that God wants us to hear, meant to reveal God's truth for us. Whether the truth was previously revealed, needs to be underlined, remember this, all will be well, or it's being revealed for the first time. The work of Christ's Spirit is to convict, convince, teach, guide, comfort, strengthen, heal, hallow, and basically get us ready, get us fit for eternal life with God. Wow. God speaks to us especially through prayer. Excuse me. Prayer is really communication with God in all forms. And there are so many different modes of prayer. I've begun a book, by the way, called How to Pray, a Primer. So I want to talk to you now about how God communicates to us in prayer, but I'm not going to be able to get through this week. So I'm going to ask you to listen in next week, and I'm going to talk about how God prays, God prays in us as we pray. I'm going to explain that to you as best I can, how God speaks to us through prayer. Also, how God addresses us in dreams, how God actually speaks to us with what's been called the voiceless echo. I'll explain that next week. And haven't even gotten to what it is God wants to say to us. I want to explain the things that God, the primary topics of God, to give us love, direction, knowledge, wisdom, warning, and to reveal our condition to us. The good things that God wants to say and what God's not going to say to us. And how exactly we can know for sure that this is God speaking. If you would like, again, if you'd like to hear this message, please go to my website, drhalgreen.com, drhalgreen.com, and I'll have this on tape, and next week I hopefully will finish it. And thank you for writing me in. Please let me know if you have any questions, issues about God. Write me at drhalgreen@gmail.com, drhalgreen@gmail.com. God bless you. Have a good week and be open to God speaking to you.
Broadcasting live from the Muscatine Hy-Vee Studios, KWPC Muscatine, AM 860, K236 CF, Muscatine, FM 95.1.
Confession to murder. Museums help victims. I'm Christopher Cruz. A sheriff says the man who's being held today, he will visit central Italy, the area recovering from the effects of a 6.2 magnitude pre-dawn earthquake on Wednesday. The death toll.